We began last Sunday morning to look at chapter 27 of the Westminster Confession of Faith on the sacraments, and we looked at the first three sections, but I'd like to rehearse the third section again. I think it's an important section, and I felt I somewhat rushed over it last time. So we'll read from the third section through to the fifth. The grace which is exhibited in or by the sacraments rightly used is not conferred by any power in them, neither doth the efficacy of a sacrament depend upon the piety or intention of him that doth administer it, but upon the work of the Spirit and the word of institution, which contains, together with a precept authorizing the use thereof, a promise of benefit to worthy receivers. There be only two sacraments ordained by Christ our Lord in the Gospel, that is to say, baptism and the supper of the Lord, neither of which may be dispensed by any, but by a minister of the word lawfully ordained. The sacraments of the Old Testament, in regard of the spiritual things thereby signified and exhibited, were, for substance, the same with those of the new. Well, let's go back to section 3 of chapter 27. Now, in section 3, two false views of the sacraments taught by the Roman Catholic Church are rejected by the Westminster Divines. First of all, they clearly state that the sacraments do not possess inherent power. That is to say, they do not work automatically. The phrase used, ex opere operato, which means by the very fact of the action being done. The sacraments have nothing inherently powerful contained within them to enable them to bless recipients. The sacraments do not possess inherent power. And the second false view that the divines teach here is that the Roman Church teaches that the priest must intend to do what the Church teaches for the sacrament to be valid. If there is not a proper intention in the priest, the sacrament is invalid. Now, this is denied by the divines for a number of reasons, not least because it leads to priestcraft. But more importantly, it leads to absolute uncertainty as to whether the sacrament has been truly administered. Who knows what the priest's intention truly is? God ministers his sacraments in a way that does not depend on the spiritual character or intention of the person administering. Rather, the divines state here, the sacrament's validity depends on God's promise, on the work of the Holy Spirit, and on worthy reception. And by worthy reception, they simply mean reception by elect believing receivers, not people who have some sense of any worthiness. That has nothing to do with what they mean here, but rather God blesses his sacrament by the power of his Spirit, according to the word of institution, to those who in faith receive the sacrament. Now, in section 4, the divines oppose, continuing to oppose, the Roman teaching that there are seven sacraments of the Roman Church: baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, penance, holy orders, marriage, and holy unction. And what they state here is that there is biblical warrant only for two new covenant sacraments. And you can see the texts that they use to argue that case. Just as there were two sacraments in the Old Covenant, circumcision and the Passover, which were signs and seals of God's covenant with his people, so there are two signs in the New Covenant. Baptism replacing circumcision, Colossians 2:15, and the Lord's Supper replacing the Passover. Christ, our Passover Lamb, is sacrificed for us. Now, when the divines go on in this section, you'll notice, to assert that the Lord's Supper and baptism are only to be dispensed by a minister of the word lawfully ordained, they're not suggesting, for they've denied this in the previous section, they're not suggesting that the efficacy of the sacraments depend in the slightest on the character of the person administering them. That's not the point they're making. They're making, rather, an ecclesiastical point. God has established order and decency in his church, and the sacraments are to be administered in an orderly and decent way by those whom the church has set apart to be its teachers, its pastors, and its elders. And in the final section, and this is very important for us, the divines assert here the essential continuity between the sacraments of the Old Testament and the New Testament. For substance, they write, they are the same with those of the New. Circumcision and the Passover in substance are identical with those of the New. There is continuity in the covenant of grace. There is enlargement, indeed. There is expansion, indeed. But when the New Testament comes to develop its teaching on the sacraments, it sees baptism and the Lord's Supper as having their native roots within circumcision and the Passover. And this is very basic to Reformed ecclesiology. The church of which we are a part did not begin at Pentecost. In Romans 11, Paul says to the Gentiles, "Do not boast, for we have been engrafted into spiritual Israel." We have been grafted into an already existing olive tree, as Paul puts it. And so he says, so don't boast, because if God cut off those who were natural branches, he can just as easily cut you off. So be humble and don't exalt yourself over the Jews. The church is rooted in Abraham, and it's that church of which we are a part. The same God, the same salvation, as the New Testament makes eloquently clear, undergirds both testaments. They are signs and seals of the covenant of grace, public, visible signs, not first to confirm our faith. That would be to make man the center of the gospel. They are public, visible signs to confirm God's grace to his church. So as well as hearing through the preaching of the word that God loves us in Christ, he says, see my grace in my embracing of your infant seed, and see and handle and taste and feed upon my grace as you receive it in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you have given us these visible, tangible tokens that we might be confirmed in your grace. You want us to know how dearly we are loved in Christ. You want us to know, Father, that our salvation is all of grace. And so we thank you this morning that you are the God who comes to the helpless and the weak and the lost, and you embrace them to yourself. We thank you this morning that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.